Hey, we mentioned the S&P 500 just notched its 20th record close this year. The NASDAQ 100 closed at a record. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at a record. This relentless rally in stocks powering ahead on optimism that the Fed is going to be able to engineer a soft landing, that would bolster the outlook for corporate earnings, of course. Let's see what Doug Cioka has to say about all this. He's a CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. He joins us once again from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, how are you? It's good to see you.
Great. Good afternoon. Great to see and hear you both. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming back on with us. How are you watching this from your perch over at Kavar?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of frenetic couple of days, right, with Powell yesterday. And, you know, hard to think he could have been more dovish. I mean, open to the possibility of cutting rates before inflation hits their stated and restated target of both CPI and PCE. And you know, I feel like it was such a great constructive message, right? It puts them in a position where, yeah, we may still cut, but it'll be for the sake of preserving the recovery as opposed to rescuing the economy. And I think that was obviously took that to heart. Saw both the bond and the stock rally, and then like you guys were just talking about, I mean, it was some of the earnings strength that's been demonstrated, not just from technology in the Mag 5, 6, or 7, where they are now, but just across different industry groups. I think that's just kind of bolstered people's enthusiasm that, you know, we're seeing a multiple that had expanded, but now maybe can be sustained.
Well, it's interesting too. Like, I don't know, how did you kind of get your head around, right, the Fed upping growth projections, but also upping kind of inflationary expectations?
Yeah, with very little expectation of an increased unemployment rate, right?
Yeah.
I think in some ways we squared that with good news is good news, right? And whether it's soft or no or whatever type of descriptive landing we may or may not have, I think what the Fed is trying to do is invoke stability. And they've been criticized over time, and likely deservedly so, of lacking any foresight and preemptive capability with what they're doing with monetary policy. And I think that could end up being the legacy of Powell, that he is trying to go counter to what has become the expectation and be a little bit more clear in his identification of what is one of his, maybe the third but unstated mandate, which is economic stability. And I think the market plays such a big part of that.
It's so interesting because he spent so much time yesterday at the beginning and at the end reminding everybody what the dual mandate was. And he does this each and every time, Doug. He says, you know, we take our dual mandate very, very seriously. He's just really pounding it into everybody's head. All that being said, how successful of a job do you think he's doing?
Oh, I'd grade it very highly, Tim. And the thing is, like, we have the benefit of Monday morning quarterbacking, right? And I was very critical of Powell in 2022, thinking, like, why does he feel like he needs to do what he's doing? I still remember when Jim Bullard even made a comment like, hey, we may raise rates by 0.75%. We've done it in the past and the world didn't end. Like, geez, if that's your reference point of setting that low bar, and then they do it four consecutive times, you kind of felt like, what was your hurry? But I think in recognition of their misunderstanding of the non-transitory nature of the inflationary impact, they felt the catch-up they needed to do. They needed to do the catch-up that they did. And I would say it's been arguably pretty effective from that point forward.
Hey, Doug, you know, we're just getting a few, you know, earnings trickling out as we're pretty much done. We're waiting on Nike and we'll break them as soon as they cross. But we just did, you know, FedEx, which we're seeing this stock rally big time, up about 11% here in the aftermarket. As Tim rightly pointed out, they're authorizing a new $5 billion share buyback program. When companies are continuing to spend on buybacks, how do you read that as an investor? Is that really, I mean, I get why the stock goes up. Right, you buy back shares. I get the math, the supply that's out there and what that means earnings per share. But as an investor, like, does that make FedEx more interesting to you because of that, or do you question, all right, is that really, if they think that's the best use of $5 billion versus something else, I don't know. How do you read that as an investor?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Carol, because I'll answer the question in sort of the context of sort of the opposite. Perspective. When insiders sell stock, right, we always say there are a lot of reasons that they do that. Mm-hmm. But one of them is not because they think the stock is going to go on some parabolic rip higher. When companies buy their stock back, there are a lot of reasons to do that. There's financial engineering, to your point, on a metric per share basis. It improves the valuation. but they're not doing it because they think the stock is overvalued. So I do think it is a nice signal to Wall Street and to the investor community that they still think there are better days in front of the company, and that's a good use of the free cash flow that they're generating.
Hey, listen, so how are you thinking about, you know, we just had a guest, Cheryl Smith, who said, hey, listen, don't forget recessions start 23 months after interest rate hikes begin. The range is from 15 to 36 months. We're now at 24 months. Do you think about that, that maybe we've got to see some kind of correction, or that we are maybe at some point going to hit that recession, maybe sooner rather than later?
It's a very natural part of the business cycle, obviously. I mean, for us, it's difficult to anticipate or predict a specific time, only in so much as we have such strong underlying economic growth right now. And I think if you pair that economic growth with companies in a very interesting part of their upswing of their profit cycle, plus a labor market that's finally in balance, and think about it too, like the breadth that we've seen in the contribution to the index performance has been really huge. And you guys mentioned regarding Nike, incorporating like EM, like China, which is a huge market. Mm-hmm. And in light of like everything that happened with Apple Computer today, where's Tim Cook? He's in China, right? Yeah. Opening the second largest Apple store in the world after the one on Fifth Avenue, right? This is a market that has actually been discounted in its contributions to American consumer products and technological goods. If that comes in, I think it actually forestalls that recessionary influence even more.
It's a really good point. We talk about that too, that despite all the pushback, or at least the tensions between the U.S. and China specifically, you're not seeing executives run away from China. All right, Doug Cioka, thank you so much. Great to check in with you. Chief Executive Officer, partner as well at Kavar Capital Partners, roughly about $1.25 billion in assets under management, joining us from Leawood, Kansas.